Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 10, verses 23 through 37. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 10th chapter. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not hear it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he sent him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There are many good deeds to be done. God's law certainly tells us these better than any society or state could, even better than our own consciences can. The law is every part of God's word which tells us what God expects that we will be doing, as well as what ought not be done. Do this, it says. The lawyer is good at talking about the law. He's a lawyer. God's commandments are very easy to understand and to summarize, as he does. Love God completely. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's right, Jesus says. Now do this. And suddenly it's not so easy. God's law is a powerful word. But the power that it gives isn't the power to do it. It's the power to expose what's not been done and whoever has not done it. God's law is not for discussing among ourselves. It's for doing. You see, Jesus is not a lawyer. He is not interested in debating about God's law. He is the judge, and he is the Lord of these commandments. He is not going to discuss the law in a powerless way, and neither can we. Its instruction never comes without an implication, because it always says, do this, keep this. God's law is always living and active in this way, correcting us, distinguishing things, but also then killing. It's good and it's very helpful if you need correction, but you will not discuss it and come away unchanged or unaffected. And thus our great difficulty, at least it seems to us, in communicating even within the church. Because people always, by necessity, get offended and defensive in the face of the law. Because they always know someone who stands convicted by these commands. Usually it's me. There's no amount of sensitivity that we could ever use that would allow us to discuss and to learn or to debate God's law without it scratching us, cutting us, and accusing us. You can't talk about lying or being angry or stealing without someone raising their hand to make an exception. And you can't bring up things like abortion without the risk of stinging consciences of any who've had one, even if it happened a long time ago, even if it happened regretfully. So also, you can't even talk about love without pricking the conscience. Now, when this happens, we all become lawyers. Some delve into the deep ethical debates, the finer technicalities of why it's really okay when I do it. Others call upon emotional witnesses and take arguments to their absurd extremes. But all of this would be overruled if we'd recognize the true judge who presides over us. Whenever we are shown to be in the wrong, then our sinful instinct is to bend the circumstances so that we can still be kinda in the right, too. Because we don't like to stand unjustified. But that is how God's law always leaves us. Always. And this is how our God intends it, in fact. We heard this yesterday. He's not going to dilute his goodness and the goodness of his order in this world. He wants love to be genuine. Yea, our God is love and merciful. You cannot turn away from all of these things without turning away from him. And that's why Jesus preaches God's law at its simplest and its strongest. Do it. And when he has provoked a stubborn heart, Jesus doesn't change the subject or let it be changed. But he becomes like Nathan the prophet. He starts to weave a captivating story of failed love and love as it ought to be. In order to entrap and to force an answer from your own lips, you are unjustified. Do you see it? Your problem is not that you're unsure what you must do to inherit eternal life. It's that you most certainly cannot and have not done this and live. Will you not then seek what many prophets and kings longed to see and hear? Because blessed are the eyes who see who it is who is speaking and who hear his words, as we just sang. And where he has hidden himself in order to be found. For when our Lord Jesus Christ finished this parable, he did not return to that lawyering question, who really is my neighbor? To that question, there's no end. Not even the borders of Samaria or the edges of the church limit it. But who rather proved to be a neighbor to the man? And only one man did that. It is the one who has mercy. From Christ we learn true mercy, since in him we ourselves find mercy. Surely he is the one who finds us poor and helpless and spiritually dead by the wayside of this world. And he has washed us clean now in holy baptism. He has poured his medicine of immortality into us. He has bound up our wounds with forgiveness. He, and not us, has paid the price. He has suffered and died in our place before returning on the third day. And so his prophets and his apostles of this Christ are sent to preach. And what do they preach? They preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Because this is the only way that love will be genuine, even among us, when it issues from a pure heart, from a clean, good conscience before God, and a sincere faith. That comes from the one who has mercy, the one who, like Nathan announces, the Lord has put away your sin. Let us salvage this lawyer's question then. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Well, you can do nothing in order to inherit something. Another actually has to do the significant part. They must die. The heir then gets to receive everything that they promised. So at last, Charles has his day, and that despite his doings. How much more then on the last day, when your Lord Jesus Christ separates the sheep from the goats, will he say to his sheep, "Come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.